Welcome to Unfold Geely, a podcast that dives deep into the behind the scenes of the automotive giant Geely. This is a brand new podcast that focuses on the people who contribute to the Geely brand, their stories and experiences. This podcast aims to share an in-depth look at what drives Geely, the people, the products, the services, and most of all, our passion. We aim to share our thoughts on the future of the automotive industry. The first ever motor racing event took place in Paris in 1894. Back then, the winning car was racing at just the speed of 24 kilometers per hour. Since then, cars have become faster, but our pursuit of speed and passion has remained the same. For Geely, our racing dream was born at the early stage of our development, and we have grown with racing in China as well. In 2019, Geely's Lynk & Co Scion Racing team won the World Touring Car Championships, writing a new history for Chinese automotive brands involved in global racing. To further promote motorsport in the Chinese market, Geely Auto created the grassroots Super Geely Cup in 2006, aiming to create a professional platform in which our drivers can mature along with our brand. We invite Chinese motorsports enthusiasts who have big racing dreams to take part in our training program and allow them to take their driving skills to the next level. In this episode, we will be talking about Geely's endeavors in motorsports with our two guests, Dixon Hunt in the USA, the operational manager from Utah Motorsports Campus in Utah, and Shen Jun, the commercial director of Geely Group's motorsports here in China. In 2018, Geely completed the acquisition of the iconic Miller Motorsports Campus in the USA. Since then, it has been rebranded as Utah Motorsports Campus. And along with that, Geely has big plans to improve the campus facilities in the coming years with more investment and further race events being held there. Our first guest, the operational manager of Utah Motorsports Campus, Dixon Hunt, will tell us more about the glorious history of the track and the promising future of working with Geely. Thank you, Dixon. Thank you for coming on the Geely Unfold podcast today. Could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I'm Dixon Hunt, the general manager of Utah Motorsports Campus. So at the end of the day, I'm basically responsible for running the whole facility. Now, I wouldn't be able to do that without the amazing team that I have. We have a really, really good, dedicated team. But, you know, we run a racetrack at a motorsports facility, and it's also an outdoor event venue. And I report up to William Lee, who reports to the board of my time on the Geely side of things.
Wow. Okay. So that's fairly impressive. Well, what about the history of Miller Motorsports Park that became Utah Motorsports Campus?
Right. So yeah, Larry Miller was definitely an automotive enthusiast. He was a big-time car dealership, car mogul here in the western United States. Also the owner of the Utah Jazz, the national basketball team here in Utah.
Wow.
Along with that, he had a very impressive Shelby Cobra collection. So as he got older and wanted a place to play with his toys, he commissioned a guy named Alan Wilson to build him a racetrack. Alan Wilson is a South African gentleman who, between he and his wife, have a huge racing pedigree. She is a female race car driver that's raced her whole life, competed in a level of Formula One at one point, and Alan's designed and built racetracks all of his life. Actually, the one building the racetracks currently in China for the Mai Time Group. So with that, Larry and he started out with about a $5 million budget to build a racetrack for him to play with his cars and take his friends out. Well, as time went on, as projects changed, as ideas grew, we had what turned into about a $100 million investment into a facility a couple of years later that sits over 500 acres and is a 4.5-mile road course, along with many other things. We have an off-road rock climbing track. We have a dirt track for racing Lucas Oil off-road trucks. We have a go-kart track, a skid pad, a Nitro Circus rally cross track. So you name it, in terms of a racing surface, we pretty much have it.
Okay, so Dixon, you just mentioned that the Miller Motorsports was built essentially as one man's hobby, and this one man's hobby became a multi-million dollar business. So it's understandable why Chinese entrepreneurs like Li Shufu would look at it and see some kind of synergy, or basically see himself.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, no different than our own founder, Chairman Li, with a lot of the visions that he's had and some of the passion projects that he's took on. Larry Miller did the same thing, took it as a hobby and turned it into a business. And from there, it's been between the Miller Group at the time of ownership and now our job. It's our job to successfully make it a profitable, functioning, standalone business for itself that contributes to the greater good of the group.
Yeah. I think there's a lot going on in motorsports in China, and your side probably makes such a good template for Geely to look at and study from. And you've got how many years of history there? 20, 25, 30?
Well, the facility was built in 2006. I came on in 2007, so I've been there for 13 years. You know, motorsports in America is hundreds of years old, whether it be NASCAR from the moonshine running days to various levels of road racing. So motorsports has been in the U.S. for, you know, I think the joke said that the first race happened the second there was a two cars built, so that somebody had something to race against, you know. So motorsports, especially in America, has got a rich pedigree and heritage and been going on a lot. So we're hopeful between what's going on in China with the development of motorsports at various levels there, and then taking into consideration what's happened in motorsports in the U.S., you know, being able to help guide and kind of tell some stories or be able to show some of the mistakes we've made and a lot of the things we've learned and how we've been able to progress, really will lend itself well to the Chinese market as motorsports continues to develop there.
Sure. Motorsports here is still relatively young, but you can see that it's going in the right direction.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm just watching where it started even 3, 4, 5 years ago. I mean, I know Formula One's been coming there a while, to now the investment that my time and Geely are making into motorsports is significant.
Sure. So how does a normal day look for you? Well, before COVID.
Sure. You know, it really depends on the day. That people say, oh, in the winter, you're not as busy. And I like to say, well, no, it's a different kind of busy, because for me and my team, let's say the fall going into the winter is when you're lining up the schedule for next year. So you're working with various sanctioning bodies to secure races. You're working with various sponsorship opportunities because everyone's budget for the year is being spent in that fourth quarter for the next year. You know, there are various trade shows we're going to. We're trying to just align ourselves with different partners and build on to the next year. Obviously, day-to-day throughout the season, I mean, our go-kart track is open 12, 14 hours a day. So I've got a team that works there every day. We're in the process of putting lights on it so that it'll be open at night, be able to for people to be able to run into the evenings. This weekend, for example, we have a group called NASA, which is the National Auto Sport Association. They're a sanctioning body that's here in the U.S., and every state or region has its own region. So we have the NASA Utah region hosting an event this weekend, and as part of this event, they do what's called an enduro. So they, at the end of their Saturday night round, they run a six-hour event from 6 p.m. to midnight. And so we've got teams from all over the Western United States pulling into our facility today to set up for that race this weekend. So there's always a lot of moving parts. I mean, the facility has 220 garages on site.
Wow, it's huge.
We call them our team garages. And so you can rent those on an annual basis to store your car, motorcycle, dirt bike, whatever you want there. But then we also have a lot of people that run their own individual businesses on site. So we've got trackside support, full-on race teams, a motorcycle riding school, a graphics and sticker shop on site, like a bunch of different businesses that actually operate right there on our own facility as well.
That's absolutely impressive. It's almost become its own self-sustaining economy.
It definitely is. You know, it's its own city. And until you actually come through the gates and really get a view, I mean, it's really cool to see people walk on site for the first time and look around, because it is overwhelming. We're kind of out in the middle of a field in the desert just off the freeway. And then you come through the gates and you've got, you know, a big racetrack. You've got a big clubhouse building. We've got a big $5 million clubhouse glass building where we run our catering company out of, that overlooks the venue where you can see the racing action. We have our go-kart track. We have multiple cafes on site. A full-service fuel station that you can buy race fuel, you know, all kinds of things. So it is its own sustaining kind of motorsports city within itself.
Wow. You guys must pay a lot of taxes to Salt Lake City.
You know, there's a reason that the county and the state were so keen to find a buyer for this, because between property taxes, sales tax, and other, you know, revenue, yes, we definitely are one of the higher contributors in the state.
Sure. Better than the original plan of building houses, I imagine.
Absolutely, because this is continual. You know, I mean, sure. Property taxes on individual units, sure, it's good, but you know, the long-term strategy of the facility, what we hope to eventually add as we continue to look towards the future, both from a commercial standpoint and a business standpoint, should long be a very good long-term solution for us, for the state, for everyone.
Sure, sure. Actually, I'm from the UK, so when we talk about racetracks, we imagine these fairly compact postage stamp-sized facilities, kind of like Silverstone and the rest of them. But hearing you talk about 500 acres and a self-sustaining economy is absolutely fantastic. It's hard to comprehend, to be honest.
Well, to put things kind of in perspective, if you're familiar with Disneyland in Southern California, I want to say it's about 90 to 95 acres, the original park. Now, granted, they've grown. So if you think about it, we're about five times the surface size of Disneyland in Southern California in terms of just space. You know, the facility was built for the future, and Larry, obviously being visionary enough, look to do that. We have, for example, just acres and acres of big gravel parking lots that we utilize during a race for people to park on. But other times, like we're working, especially with COVID hitting, we're working with an organizer right now to do a drive-in concert. So it'll be an electric music concert. They're using one of our parking lots, setting a stage up. We're going to put concessions out there, and people will be able to socially distance because the parking lot's just so big that we can have up to 6,000 people come to this concert and still maintain guidelines and social distance guidelines. We do things like the lantern festivals, the paper lantern festivals that bring upwards of 20,000 people to our facility. They just utilize our parking lot because we just have the space to be able to get creative and do other things besides just racing at our venue.
Wow, that is absolutely huge. Unbelievable. And you still have a lot of third-party OEMs coming there to do their own races. NASCAR, I believe Ford still come. How is this business growing for you?
Sure. And, you know, pre-COVID, things were really, really doing well. Last year, Porsche spent 6 weeks at our facility. They rented basically the entire facility from us for 6 weeks to do their dealer training on the new Macan and the new 911. So they were flying dealers from all of North America, the salespeople, the service riders, all of them, to get familiar with their new vehicles before they go on to sell to the public. So that was great. You know, obviously working within the Geely group, we had some really, really good meetings with Lotus and other OEMs within the Geely umbrella about what the future looks like. A lot of things, unfortunately, are being put on hold right now just because everyone's trying to strategize, hey, you know, how do we sustain our business in 2020 in hopes that 2021 going forward, we're able to grow again. But the facility lends itself well for manufacturer and dealer trainings, for product launches. Harley-Davidson, Lexus, Suzuki, a lot of different OEMs have done commercials there.
Wow.
Because they can lease the facility. They can be locked down. We can keep the public away, and they're able to do filmings. And then, yeah, we continue to get different race groups, more so than us trying to host a big Formula One-style event, because it just you know, the time, energy, and money that go into an event like that versus the return, at least where we're sitting in our market, it's just not worth it. So for us, we kind of go for the mid-level, you know, kind of the CEO that owns his Porsche that comes and races in various series. We get a lot of series like that on our facility. But we do run with, like, you know, SRO World Challenge comes to our facility. Moto America comes to our facility. The Lucas Oil off-road trucks come to our facility. So we have a lot of top-tier national-level series that come there as well.
You have an off-road truck racing facility.
We do.
Is there anything you don't have? Do you have your own airstrip?
You know, we don't. However, less than a mile away, there is a commercial, small, private, but commercially owned by the Salt Lake City International Airport airstrip. So we've had a few times, not many, but we have had a few times where those that are very wealthy can fly in on their private jet, hop in a car, come a mile away, and drive their car on track. And we've been able to utilize that as well. They do have a skydiving thing there where the public can go skydiving, you know, actually go jump out of an airplane. So we've teamed up with it and created an adrenaline package in the valley where I think it's like $350, you can skydive, you can go karting, you can do a couple other activities at UMC, and then have lunch, all included in an adrenaline pack right there locally.
Wow, you still have energy for lunch after all of that.
Either before or after, you know, you might burn it up jumping out of an airplane.
Wow, that's really something. How did Larry decide to put this racetrack in Utah to begin with? Was he from Utah, or was just Utah a place with lots of space?
Yeah, no, he was born and raised here in Utah, so a local Utah guy. You know, he was the reason that he purchased the Utah Jazz to keep him in Utah, because at the time they were in a financial crisis. someone was looking to buy them, they probably would have left the state because, you know, Utah's a decent-sized state, but compared to other big, big cities, you know, we're nowhere in comparison to New York City or, you know, Shanghai. When you touch the Chinese market, it's a whole different ballgame there. But from here, he actually originally was looking to build it in Colorado because the Shelby American Collection, where his cars were at the time, was in Colorado. But as he started to look between noise regulations, land usage, all of the various components that go into building a facility like this, he landed on some land here in Utah that the county was able to work a deal with him to be able to build and approve everything that he wanted to do. So kind of, you know, happenstance that he happened to live in Utah, but also this is where he found a local government that was willing to work with him to help him build what he wanted to do.
Sure, we're just looking at the map, and it looks like an absolutely fantastic place. You've got the Great Salt Lake to the north, Utah Lake to the south, mountains to the west. It really looks like a solid place. So addressing the elephant in the room, how has COVID affected you over the past 3 months, the past quarter?
You know, I mean, probably just like everyone, 2020 was looking to be a banner year for us. I took over as GM in about April of 2019, and so was kind of working with the budget that the former GM had set. And so the fall of 2019, me, our CFO, and various others within the group had built a budget. We had worked on a lot of agreements with Ceres that were financially in both of our favors, so it wasn't a one-sided deal. And I was really, really confident that 2020 was going to be a very, very good financial year. Now, for this facility, a very good financial year means operationally it didn't lose money. You know, I mean, these facilities are massive, the overhead's huge, so it's kind of a tough song and dance to make sure that the facility's up to where you need it to be, but not overspend on other things, because they're their own city to manage within themselves. So obviously, when COVID hits, you know, you guys got to experience it first because it began. And I was looking to the leadership at times in the Mighty Time group to say, hey, what's happening over there? What can you tell us so that we could try to get ahead of it and be proactive rather than reactive when it hits? So come early March, when it was evident that there was going to be a global shutdown and a shutdown here in the U.S., we made the decision to close. We did it ahead of time because part of, just like everything, is playing good with politics so that you're on the right side of history there. And at that point, you know, events started dropping off. Now, the good news is, at the end of July here, all of the events that dropped off for 2020, as long as things go back to, quote, normal into 2021, are still planning to return. So we haven't completely lost them for good, but obviously it definitely affected our revenues and our schedule for 2020. And we've just had to adjust with that. You know what I mean? We've had to make some staffing changes, unfortunately, which has been the nature of the game, and just really scale the business to the size that it currently is operating at. Now, the few good things that we've seen, because people aren't allowed to go, you know, travel internationally, and a lot of people are afraid to fly right now, or flights are significantly cut, people are still looking for things to do. So, like, our go-kart track is a mile long.
Wow.
It's the largest, fastest go-kart track. It is. It's huge. And our go-karts will go up to 50 miles an hour, so they're a lot of fun. And so we've actually been having really, really good revenue for that because people are still looking for things to do. The fact that we are outside, it gives people plenty of space to social distance. We're not cramming them under a roof and play. And so that's why we were also able to host ARCA West, which is a tier of NASCAR that came. You know, we had originally made plans to host them in May, postponed it to the end of June, and working with the local health department, the state, you know, NASCAR and ARCA, we were able to host an event. We only allowed 500 spectators on site just to make sure that we didn't cram the place. But because the facility is so big, we were able to put that event on successfully. It sold out. Everyone had a good time. You know, everyone was happy. So we've had to be real creative at times to look at what the facility has that actually works in our favor, given everything going on right now.
Excellent, excellent. How did it feel coming back to having the first 2020 NASCAR race?
Well, you know, so it's ARCA, which is a series that is theirs. It's not top-tier NASCAR by any means, but it is a West Coast-based kind of Tier 3 series, I guess I would say. But it felt good to get action on track again, to hear the cars, to see spectators and fans. That's what makes it worth it. When you put all the time and energy and effort into putting an event on and you actually see the people come through the gate and everyone's enjoying it, that's what makes all of it worth it at the end. So seeing that component, working with the NASCAR officials, they had even stricter guidelines in place than the state of Utah did in terms of, you know, the team paddock area had to be completely sealed off. We couldn't have any competitor or any spectators even near them. And so we worked well together. We got creative. But again, because the facility is as big as it is, we were able to host a successful event. They were very pleased with it post-event. We were very pleased. And so we're at least trying our best to keep motorsport alive, given everything that's going on right now.
That's really positive to hear. Really, really positive. So how are you guys getting back into gear now? Now you've got a few races for 2020 under your belt. What's next for the rest of the year?
You know, I mean, I told our marketing team, I want you to spend the least amount of money possible to get the biggest return. I know that's every marketer loves to hear that, because if we all had the golden ticket on how to do that, that's what we would do. So what we're really trying to do is say, you know what? Karting is going very well. We have a family fun center on site, because when we first purchased UMC, there weren't a lot of things to do for kids. So yeah. We've got archery, dodgeball, arcade, that kind of a thing. That's open year-round to the public. So really maximizing on the things that can happen and that we're allowed to do. And then working with kind of these mid-level user groups, like I mentioned earlier with NASA, they rent the track from us. People are coming from all over the Western U.S. to play. So it's really just maximizing what we're allowed to do, staying in contact with all the series that have had to cancel for this year to make sure that we maintain the relationship. If there is anything we can do for them, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that as different states change their strategy and their shutdown procedures, that we may have series that still want to host events that will reach out to us. So we're just, you know, I'm doing my best within the motorsports world that I know and the connections I have to just say, hey, we're here for you. We're not going anywhere. You know, we've got the support of an amazing global company that's told us that we're here for you. I mean, obviously they want us to manage the business as best we can. We can't just do nothing. But Geely and MyTime have been really, really supportive in understanding what's going on. And unfortunately, it's, you know, really out of any of our hands or our control what's happening in the world right now.
Sure. But it seems like you're being very proactive in handling the crisis and working with fans, working with race series to bring this thing back together for the rest of the year. So it sounds like you're on the right track.
We hope so. You know, we're doing the best we can with what we can work with, and we're all hoping that, you know, as more positive news starts to come out and things start to turn themselves around, that we've put ourselves in a position to be able to get back on that growth train that we were headed on before all of this happened.
Sure. But on the other hand, I'm sure many people will be itching to get out and enjoy the rest of their summer before the winter comes in. Like you said earlier, it sounds like the winter in Utah can be a little harsh.
No, absolutely. And that's why we're maximizing what we can do right now, you know, continuing to push all the activities that are happening and getting people to come out and have a good time, bring the family, spend the weekend, do whatever you need to do. So we're continuing that push through, you know, the end of October here, which is kind of the end of our season, do the best we can and hope that with the efforts we're doing, that we're paving the way for a successful at least quarter three going into quarter four.
Excellent. Have you been able to visit any of the China tracks yet?
I have. So I actually was there October of 2017, I believe. I was at Ningbo for the grand opening. Was there for about 2.5 weeks, actually.
Really?
So, yeah, I came over to, you know, it was as much a learning experience for me as anything, because different countries and different organizations do things differently. At the end of the day, we have the same goal, but I came over to lend what expertise I had or knowledge I may have on certain things and learn also from the team there at Ningbo, because, you know, you guys have built a very strong motorsports team there as well. So we kind of worked well together to say, okay, well, you know, I've done it this way, you do it this way, all right, I'm going to respect that and vice versa. But it was really, really fun, and that's a very, very impressive facility. I will tell you, to me, one of probably the most impressive things about the 2.5 weeks I was there, when I first walked on site and was looking at, you know, the grandstands hadn't been built yet, and there were just a lot of things, there was a lot of work going on, but I remember thinking, this place has a world-class race coming in, you know, 2 weeks. And I kid you not, the place looked amazing by 2 weeks. So the way people, the work ethic and the amount of people they employed and just the efforts that went into getting that place ready to go by race day were very impressive to me.
Yeah, I remember visiting Ningbo in, I think, 2015, 2016, and it was still half a mountain, half a field. And they've managed to carve it out of that mountain, put in a fairly decent F2, F3 level track, and then get it operational. Last time I checked, they were pretty much busy all day, every day for the full calendar year. If you want to go there and have a test day, you have to book well in advance, and you have to hope and pray that somebody cancels.
No, and that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, like we've said, you know, motorsports development in China and what it's doing, obviously it is taking off, and so it's great to hear. It's great to hear for all of us within the company that another arm of investment that Geely's put itself into is doing well. But yeah, it's a very impressive facility. In fact, Alan Wilson, who designed, you know, what was Miller, now UMC for Larry Miller, is the one that designed Ningbo and is in the process of designing the other tracks there in China for you guys.
Yeah, last time the chairman mentioned something about he's got two in development and he's planning another four. So he's really focused on bringing this motorsports culture to China and having it in some kind of ecosphere. So basically, there's a lot of people in China with very fast cars, but traffic sucks. So if you've got your 911, you've got your Lotus Evora, you've got nowhere to drive it. So why not come to one of our tracks at the weekend, let off that steam?
Absolutely. And you know, racing is a disease. It's a sickness almost, because once you get caught by the bug, it's the most fun you'll ever have, but it's also the most expensive thing you can do. So guess who gets to benefit off that? The track. Because between the fuel, the tires you sell, you know, just the amount of money people spend to be there, we get to benefit by that disease that other people catch.
Exactly. We're the facilitators.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, I think that's all of my questions for you, Dixon. It sounds like stuff is really happening out there in Salt Lake City. Is there anything we should probably add that I didn't talk about?
I mean, I don't think so. I appreciate the opportunity to come on board and kind of highlight the fact that we do have a, you know, a global business, even in motorsports here, that Geely has invested within Utah, within the motorsports history. And as we continue to develop relationships with other motorsports venues and groups here in the U.S., it's been really great to have the Geely name behind us, because to be honest with you, even in the last, what, 5-6 years, where Geely's at, even from where it was 5 or 6 years ago, everyone that knows anything about motorsports or automobiles or anything automotive knows who Geely is now. Their name's always in the news, and it's really fun to be part of a company like that. And it actually helps us here in the U.S. and even locally be able to leverage that name and start some conversations that we may not have been able to have if we were a standalone business.
It's impressive to hear that Geely's name has gone all the way to even Salt Lake City area.
Yes. I mean, I think buying the track locally helped. But, you know, when you've got Volvo and Lotus and London Electric and you start to name off all of these sub-brands that Geely owns, everyone's like, oh, yes, I know who you are now.
Wow. Wow, that's really impressive. Maybe our PR is actually quite good after all.
Hey, that means we're all doing a good job and we get to keep our jobs, right?
Yeah. Actually, this morning there was something on Donut Media on YouTube about Geely. You would enjoy it.
Well, very cool. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. Oh, there's one question I didn't ask, but I wasn't sure if it was sensitive given the current status. Do the police train there? I've been to Lotus a few times, and the special constabulary, the anti-terror police, do all of their training at Lotus's track.
It's funny enough you asked that, because they actually, at least the Tooele County, so the county we're in, the local sheriffs just finished their 3-day state recertification today at our facility. So I was actually out there with them, kind of teasing them, because here are the police, but, you know, their certifications, they have to do pit maneuvers and kind of slow. And I'm like, you guys are at a racetrack. You need to step it up a notch. I can beat you on this track. Let me drive, you know. But yeah, so we actually, you're right. I mean, there's some public sensitivity and a lot of things going on in the world right now. But yes, we have a big, you know, probably 25-ish acre paved skid pad that the police and tire manufacturers and a lot of suspension manufacturers and that utilize quite significantly for testing and police trainings and, you know, product launches as well. So, yeah, we actually work well with the local state police forces to be able to for them to use us as a training ground.
Well, Dixon, every time you throw out these numbers, I'm completely amazed. You say 25 acres very casually.
I think it's just because I've gotten used to it. I mean, you know, like I said, it really is. You walk through the gates, and for people's first time, they don't even know where to begin, because it is like walking into Oz, I guess, but motorsports Oz, where it's like, okay, well, you've got this, this, and this. Where do I start? You know, and part of my staff's job has been to educate these people on exactly where things are, what you're allowed to do, because people are curious. They want to come in and see it, but then they go, I don't know where to start. And so you're right. I mean, I think I'm just so familiar with the facility. I've been there so long now, it's my second home, probably my first home. I think I spend more time there than I do in my own house a lot of times.
It sounds like it.
You know? But it definitely is. It's an impressive facility, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, MyTime and Geely are proud to have us as part of their group, because within the U.S., it is still one of, if not the best motorsports facility in the country. It definitely has a lot of things that lend itself well to the motorsports world.
Sure, it's one of those tracks that has some kind of mystique behind it, some prestige.
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, we're not Formula One, but we're prestigious enough, and we have enough pedigree behind us. yet anyone can come drive their car on the track if they want to.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Really impressive. So if I turn up with my Dodge rental car or my Chevrolet Camaro, how much are you going to charge me for a few laps of the track?
Well, I was going to say we'll give you the family discount, I guess, right? I would expect the same when next time I come over there.
Okay, no problem. We'll get you our best Geely and we'll send you around the track.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you for your time, Dixon. It's been really entertaining to talk to you.
No, great. Thanks to you as well. Thanks for including us. And as always, please come visit. And if there's ever anything we can do from you on this side of the ocean, please let us know.
Thank you for your time.
Have a good night. Thank you. Or day okay. For you guys to guess.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
But what about the development of motorsports in China? How many professional tracks do we have here? As an amateur driver, how can I get to experience the fun of racing? Our second guest, Chen Jun, the commercial director of Geely Group Motorsports, will tell us more about the environment of Chinese motorsports market. Okay, thank you very much for coming here today, CJ. For those who are not familiar with CJ, CJ is the head of motorsports for Geely Holding Group in China. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm the commercial director of the Geely Group Motorsport. This is my title, anyway.
This is your title. Yeah. And you've been working with Geely now for the past 10 months? Not quite a year?
Yeah, almost a year.
Almost a year. Yeah. How has it been so far?
It's good. We make a lot of progress. We won some champion.
We've been planning this conversation for some time now, but we haven't had a chance. So
yeah,
I'm going to pick your brains, if that's okay.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
How has racing developed in China from your point of view?
Yeah, when Chinese people talking about motorsport, I think most of them will mention F1. Yeah, and maybe I think that's all the knowledge they know about motorsport. And even F1 has entered China for about 15 years. But I think the F1, it still stays as a big event in Shanghai in every April.
Mm.
And that's it. So it actually has very weak linkage to normal Chinese people to touch and know about, I think.
F1 is probably too expensive.
Yeah. So I think the main reason maybe there is a little Chinese elements in F1. No team coming from China, no Chinese driver, and no big China sponsor.
Mm-mm-mm.
So
makes sense.
Yeah, this is the when you ask Chinese people about what do you think when we're talking about a motorsport, then maybe they were, F1 is motorsport, and that's all, I think. And on the other hand, I think when people talk motorsport, I see most of the Chinese people will think that only belong to rich people or new generation. They were sometimes confused by the motorsport and the tuning car.
Mm.
Because the tuning car is, I think it's very unluckily referring to dangerous, irresponsible,
yeah,
and selfish.
Young guys on the streets.
Yeah, and even illegal before. Sure. Because relevant regulation and the laws are just published in recent years. So before that, I think the tuning car is in a gray zone to develop in China. But anyway, I think the tuning car has very strong connection with motorsport, as we can see for those countries have a well-developed tuning car culture. They also have very good motorsport culture in the industry, like most of the European countries, Japan and the US. So I have to say that's maybe the basic picture of the motorsport connection in China.
But how about your Geely Super Cup, this grassroots sports we have going on here? How is that looking?
So for the before I speak up the Geely Supercar, I would like to share with you about some popular racing events in China, and then we speak about the Geely Supercar.
Sure.
For the race event, I think we have the CTCC, the China Touring Car Championship, and China GT CE's Endurance Champion, TCR China CRC Rally Champion, and CKC Karting Championship, CDC Drifting Championship. So I think they are the most popular racing events in China. But all of them are professional events for pro driver and the gentleman driver to participate, not for amateur as entry level. So for entry level, now we speak about the GT Super Cup. Actually, I think from my personal point of view, it's a very good practice when we have the GT Super Cup because it's a racing event just for the beginner. We use the Geely brand road car modified on the racing safety standards, but we focus more on the racing experience instead of the racing performance. So we provide a professional track training program. And if you pass the test, you will be awarded a CAMF. CAMF means the Federation of Automobile and Motorcycle Sports of People's Republic of China.
So what you're saying is basically I could go to your track event tomorrow in a Geely car. If I'm a Geely owner, you will train me how to become a...
You don't need to be a Geely owner.
Amateur race driver.
Yeah, if you have, if you want to be a driver, the driver, you can just sign up for the program, and we will provide you some training courses. Then, if you pass the test, you will be awarded a driving license.
Wow,
racing driving license.
I want to come.
Yeah. So, if you have the racing driving license, that's making you qualified to join more advanced motorsport events. So this is what we do for the GT Super Cup here in China. So it's it's different from the CTCC China GT. It's just for the pro driver and the gentleman drivers. Maybe just for the rich people or the or professional driving racing team.
But yours is very affordable.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good. So anybody could basically come.
Yeah,
spend a few thousand.
Yeah,
take part in your training.
Yes,
cool.
Yeah,
that's super cool. Are you familiar with the Geely racetracks now? How many do we have? I really can't keep up with the chairman's ambition.
You mean the circuit belong to Geely?
Or circuits in China?
In China, I think it's more than 50. It's more than 50.
More than 50 racetracks in China.
Yes, I think so. And I think most of the big cities have at least one circuit as a sport facility to people. So this is what I can get from the data. We can see more and more China faces or Chinese auto brands show up in different worldwide racing events. Like, for example, the Lincoln Co.
Lincoln Co. did
the Sai Racing team won the 2019 WTCR team title using the Lincoln Co. 0C TCR. And also Han Wei set the best record of Chinese team as top 10 in 2020 Dakar. So I think the motorsport culture in China has developed very quickly.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Over the last past decade.
So how is consumer interest in motorsports in China? I've been to a few races. Like the first time I went to F1 in Shanghai, I think it was like 2005, 2006. It was really cheap. It was maybe 50 RMB a ticket. At that time, 8 RMB to the dollar. So basically, I don't know, a $6 ticket or something.
Yeah.
But now it's been here for more than 10 years. How is it F1 growing? How is motorsports growing here?
I think nowadays, I think there is more and more called the track day organizers. They're coming up to encourage people to drive very fast, but safely with responsibility in circuit, not on the streets. So people actually is more likely to drive, to bring his car to our formal circuit and drive. So that's making the F1 event maybe more easily to
relate to.
Maybe. Yeah, to relate him when people think when I drive my car at the every weekend, and maybe next weekend we have the F1 event, why not we come to and see the world-class racing event? That's it's very exciting. And also they have a very close relation to what they do for normal day-to-day practice.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think people is more willing to take the cost and bring their own car to the circuit.
It makes sense. I mean, Shanghai was probably the first big racetrack in China, right? Shanghai
Tianhe. Yeah, yeah.
But then later on, we had good tracks that are small and accessible, like Zhejiang.
Yeah, and
Zhejiang, like
Ningbo,
Ningbo as well.
Yeah, from Geely. It's not expensive, actually.
Asking about the Zhejiang track, and it was, what, 5,000 RMB per hour?
Yeah.
It's, what, $1,000? Oh, sorry, it was 5,000 RMB for the afternoon.
Not so much, actually.
Really?
No. Yes. It's almost like a thousand for like an hour.
A thousand for an hour is what, $120 or something?
Yeah.
That's actually really affordable.
Yeah, it's really affordable. And people come to the track days to practice the driving skill and adding up the experience and know, meet more friends.
Sure.
I think that's some social function also for the track day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Last time I went to Zhejiang Racetrack, I was really impressed by how professional it was.
Yeah.
Full pit stop, hotel on site.
Yes.
Close to the highway. Literally, I could go from my car garage at home in Hangzhou to a racetrack garage within an hour.
Yeah.
It is incredibly accessible and it's cheap as well.
That's good.
It's affordable. It's just becoming very much like the USA.
Yeah.
Like the UK.
Yeah.
I can see big things happening for motorsports in China.
Yeah, hope so.
Good for you anyway.
Good for you. Yeah.
Do many people come and watch motorsports events in China at the weekend? I've been to a few and the grandstands have been a little empty. It could be weather related, too hot, too cold, too wet.
I think for F1 class, I think that this is not a problem. I think a lot of people come on site. But for the other race, like the, maybe for the events I just mentioned for CTCC or CEC or the CRC, CKC, some national class events. Yes, people, not so much people would go on site to buy the tickets, pay by themselves and watch the race. And most of the guys will be more interested in, they can log on the websites.
Sure, watch live streaming.
Live streaming, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Live streaming.
And especially for this year, for this year, like last week, we have the TCI China in Zhuzhou. Actually, it's a closed door event. There is no audience because of the control of the government. Yeah.
Right.
The control of the government. So there is no any audience, just the racing team and the staff on site. But people can still access by the internet.
Okay.
To watch the.
So I'm sure there was a few hundred thousand people watching online, right?
Yeah.
Good. Very cool. How is the Zhuzhou track? This is the first time this year it's been used, right?
Yes. Yeah. And this is the first nationwide racing event.
Okay.
2020 in China.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it has a different meaning, I think. Yeah. So every team and the people, all the people in this industry, hope the Zhuzhou event, the TCI China and the CTCC can hold as they planned. And then maybe all the other events can follow up. Yeah. Otherwise, there is we don't see any sign of the big events
for
massive people in China. Yeah.
Sure. Which global race event do you think should most come to China? World Rally, NASCAR, Daytona? What do you think should come?
I think NASCAR can be an option. Yeah, because NASCAR is more fun. Personally speaking, NASCAR is more fun than F1. Because on NASCAR circuit, we always can see some crashes.
Every second.
Yeah, every second. So many cars crashes together. And for ordinary people, I think people would like to watch this.
Sure.
But for F1, so you... Because you are in the circuit, you just at your stand. So actually you can maybe just watch the car pass by you like a
split second.
Yes. And 1 minute, 1.5 minutes. But for NASCAR, it's like you are in a stadium and then you can see the whole track.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense.
That is more enjoyable, I think. Yeah.
Excellent. What about rally in China? Rally events. Is that big, or does it have potential, or does it have this problem where it's too spread out?
I think rally events is even have more distance than the circuits the event because it's more in remote area, and it's not so easy for normal people to participate because all the team is quite professional. If you just want to participate in a rally event. It's not just a track day, what track day can offer you, because you can drive your own car on the track day, but you can never drive your own car on a off-road.
Not if you want to drive
the game. Yeah, that's too dangerous for people. So I think the rally events in China actually is not so developed, well developed in like in circuit events. Yeah, but also we have some very good rally history, like Hanwei.
Sure.
Yeah, for Dakar, for the Silk Way, he is always the Chinese hero. Yeah, on those events. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your TCR China program that you've been working on?
Yeah, TCR China program. The project is running by the team called Teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a team called the Shell Teamwork Link & Co. This is a private team joining the TCR China, but they're using the Link & Co. 0C TCR cars, two cars. And they are, Ma Qinghua is the number one driver. And we have another gentleman driver, Liu Wei. So these two drivers are the main driver for the TCR China. And we have another project with Autohome, the media Autohome.
Mm-hmm.
I think Autohome is the biggest...
the world's biggest Chinese... the world's biggest car website in terms of page views.
And also, the Autohome, they used 103 TCR to participate in the TCR China. Yeah. So actually, we have a 3 Lincoln Co. 03 TCR in TCR China event.
How big is TCR China this year? How many stages? It's all been pushed together, right?
The original plan is we're going to have five to six race weekends. And in each race weekend, we will have two rounds. But for the COVID-19 issue, actually, it's not so much confirmed by every weekend. So maybe we're going to have four rounds in a race weekend, like last weekend in Zhuzhou, we have four rounds. And maybe for the next weekend, we'll have two rounds or four rounds. Who knows? So this is especially for this year. So all the motorsport events will have the same issue. Like the F1, they cancel all the races in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
They keep all the races in a European championship, actually.
Sure. It makes sense for them.
Yeah. And also for the Formula E, they're going to have a 12 event rounds within 6 days or 9 days in Berlin, Germany. So they're going to have an all-in-one event.
Basically, all race events this year have been compacted into the last quarter of the year.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, CJ.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your answers. It's really interesting to hear about motorsports developing in China.
Yeah, good.
Okay, thank you once again.
Thank you for tuning in today with us. See you next time.